Let's all say amen.
Amen.
I want to say good morning to everyone. And welcome those that are visiting with us. We want to welcome you to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. We want to thank you for your presence this morning. And I like to always start with reminding us for our purpose of being here. Well, the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 42, there are five acts of worship when we assemble to worship God. Luke penned for us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So we're going to teach from the word of God. Fellowship means to share with the Lord. If the Lord has blessed you this week, then we share what the Lord has blessed us with back with him. We give back to the Lord. We also commune with the Lord in the breaking of bread. Our hearts ought to reflect back on the suffering that Christ did for all the world when he died on the cross. Also, we look at the fact that we offer prayers. Men pray to God when we assemble. And then Luke penned, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we praise God. Thank our brother, Brother Phillips, for leading us in him, and all the brothers that have participated in our worship service thus far on this morning. Amen. I want to thank them. We know we praise God with the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 by verse 15. We praise God with what God has already given us with. We don't need instruments to worship God. We praise God based on the Bible. And so if you're here with us this morning, you are seeing or experiencing New Testament worship where we do those things according to the Bible. And then Luke penned, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. The Lord blessed us on our last Sunday. He added four to the fold on last Sunday. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, sometimes we may feel we're something, but we got to do, we're not what we are unless we do those things according to the word of God. Amen? And so, one, if you're here this morning, I will share with you at the close of this message what one must do in order to become a child of God, to become a Christian and a member of the Lord's church. My responsibility to do that, and I'll make that clear at the close of my message. Amen? Yeah, I want to just say, we are, if you're visiting with us again, we're studying from the book of Philippians. In chapter 1, we looked at, it has a theme, Christ is our life. Paul wanted to know that in this life as a Christian, at some point in my walk with the Lord, Christ has to become the center of my life. All right. Chapter 2, Christ is our example. Christ was the example for us, and that's why Paul penned, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Christ is our example for how we should walk as a Christian. And so now we're looking in, looking at Philippians chapter 3. And it has as a theme, you'll find in verse number 8, Christ is our hope. Yeah, Christ is our hope. And so I hope that we are studying the word of God, and as we're studying God's word, we are making application into our lives so we can look more like Christ. People can see Christ more than they see me. Amen? Amen. And so, thank all our brothers again for participating on this morning. So if you'll meet me in Philippians, the third chapter, we want to draw from the 8th verse, a subject title. Paul wrote, I count all things but loss that I may win Christ. What things did the apostle lose? What things do we need to lose in order that we may win Christ? Yeah, in order to go to heaven, you have to win Christ. So Paul gave the Philippians that message. And so I want to share from the Word of God as we look at our text on this morning. I count all things but loss that I may win Christ. Yes, Paul in verse 1 said, finally, my brethren, he said, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul said, and notice now, he began as we call verse number 1 of chapter 3, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, Apostle Paul was urging these Christians to glory in the Lord in spite of. Yeah, we got to learn to glory in the Lord in spite of the fact I may be suffering. I may be in pain. I may be going through trials. And our young people, you may be going through things in school. Yeah, but you still have to, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. What are you saying, Paul? Paul was saying to him, we shouldn't allow discouragement and grief to take the forefront of our minds and to dominate our heart that we can't rejoice anymore. Sometimes when we're going through stuff, we allow those things that we're going through to dominate us. But notice now, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, my boasting, my glory is in the Lord. Paul said the same things to you. He said, for me, it's not grievous. In other words, Paul said, I don't mind repeating those things to you. It's my responsibility to try to keep sharing things with us to keep it in the forefront. We ought to rejoice in the Lord. And rejoicing in the Lord is not based on my circumstances nor my situation. Amen. Yeah, because many of us, our circumstances and our situation may be bleak, but still, I want to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Yeah, Paul said that. Yeah. You know, I come in, and if I'm not careful, you know, sometimes we can walk around here and be depressed and nobody know it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, we can walk around, and sometimes, you know, the devil is something. All the devil want to do is steal your joy. Amen. You know, he start getting you thinking about stuff and start putting yourself down and start thinking you less than what you are. Amen. Yeah, and if we're not careful, that can dominate us. And sometimes it dominates to the point that we kind of freeze and we start moving forward because of our situation and circumstance. But Paul wanted them to know, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. And not based on my situation, not based on my circumstance. There may be things going on in my life, and all of us have different challenges in life. Amen? But I think we got to understand one thing. I'll say this. I want to learn to thank the Lord for lifting me up through my situations. I want to thank the Lord for lifting me up through my situation. But also, I want to thank the Lord for bringing me down when I need to. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes God needs to put things in our life to humble us. And so I want to thank God on all things. You know, Paul said that. Get your Bibles. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let me show you that in the Bible. That's right. You mean to say when I'm going through stuff, I'm supposed to thank God? That's what the Bible said. You mean to say when I'm suffering things? Yeah, I'm supposed to think. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul penned this to the Thessalonians. Paul said, well, I started verse 16. He said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Prayer need to be a constant thing in the life of a Christian. I need to pray every morning when I wake up, I need to thank God for allowing me to see another day. And sometime around noontime, I can thank the Lord for what I've experienced this morning. Then when I get to the evening, I can thank the Lord for letting me get to the evening. And then before I go to bed tonight, I can thank the Lord again. Because Paul said in verse 18, in everything, not some things, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we thank him. Why should I thank him? Well, look in Romans chapter 8. Why should I thank him? Because even though something may happen to me, and sometimes I do things to myself that causes me to suffer. Yeah, so everything is not about God. Sometimes I make wrong decisions. Sometimes I do things that are not right. But the thing I hold to in Romans 8 and 28, Paul said this, and we know that all things work together for good for to them that love God, to them who are called according to purpose. So no matter what goes on in my life, God can take a mistake Horace Stroud made and turn it good. That's the God we serve. My responsibility, according to the text, if to them that love God, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to do wrong, but my love for God will straighten me up. Yeah. Paul said then, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the consumption. Now, Paul was saying here, we know dogs in many of the texts is used in reference of the Gentiles. Yeah. But Paul said also, beware of evil workers. And beware of the concession. Now, the concession were used to reference those Jews that were Jews physically, but were not Jews spiritually. They had been circumcised physically, but they were not Jews spiritually. How do you know that? Because in verse number 3, stay in Romans, Paul said, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, and notice now, and rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, what did Paul say that we are the circumcision? While you're in Romans, go to Romans chapter 2. So let us see those that were physical Jews, but then those that are Christian, we are spiritual Jews. In Romans 2, and verse number 28, Paul said, for he is not a Jew. So he's dealing now with those that were Jews that call themselves Jews based on them obeying Judaism. Paul said, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Watch verse 29 though. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, who praise is not of men but of God. So those that are baptized, and what God does, and we'll show you in the text at the end how God circumcised those, and what God cut away, we'll see it in the text, I'll show you shortly, how those that were commanded, that were under the Jew religion, to be circumcised. But Paul says here, for we, those that are Christians, are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. But I want to say to all of us, I want to encourage us that we worship God in the spirit. I'm encouraging us, not so much those that are here this morning, but I want to encourage those of us that may be members of the Lord's body, and you are able to assemble to worship God, and you're choosing not to worship God, not to assemble. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage Highland Heights, those that are able, not only morning worship, if you're able, come and worship, assemble with the saints in the afternoon. Amen, somebody. That we can worship God collectively according to what God words, that we assemble, and the assembly is to encourage one another. It should be encouragement to see each of us on Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday afternoon, he said, which worship God in the Spirit according to the Spirit. We worship God. Yeah. Romans 8:14, we're led by the Spirit. Yeah, the Word of God. And then Paul said, we rejoice in Christ. And notice what he said now. He says, and we have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, as a Christian, I have no, the word confidence here means reliance or trust on me. Yeah, I don't trust me. I don't have no confidence in me. Yeah, my confidence is not in myself. My confidence, Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Paul said that some of us, we may have done something where we may have confidence in who we are. But Paul goes on record as saying, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he has, well, he might, notice now, trust in the flesh. Paul said, I have more. Paul was going to go on record. And that's what he's getting up to when he said, I count all things as loss, because Paul now is sharing with them who he was, what he had done, what he had accomplished in Judaism. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching, when it came concerning the law, Paul said, I am a Pharisee. Let's look at that. What Paul said about that. Turn your Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis. Get your Bibles. I want us to walk through understanding what Paul is saying. What does it mean by the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, being a Hebrew? What does that mean? Let's look at the text. In Genesis chapter 17, let me get there with you. And notice verse number 11. He talked about being circumcised the eighth day. Now watch what the Bible says. And ye shall circumcise, God talking to Abraham, the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So God said then, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, and every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. So what God told Abraham, what the word circumcised, by definition, circumcision means a cutting around or a cutting off of the skin. Every male, God told Abraham, this is the covenant or the agreement that I'm making with you, that the males on the eighth day, you're going to circumcise them. Okay? Paul said circumcise the eighth day. And Paul said he was a Hebrew. Go back to Genesis 14 and verse number 13. Because the word Hebrew means to pass over. Those that were under Abraham, they passed over the river. That's what the word Hebrew means. Notice in verse number 13 of Genesis 14, the Bible says, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew." Why was he a Hebrew? Because he was a part of that group that had crossed over or passed over the river. That those that were of that were they were Hebrews. Yeah. And secondly, Paul said also said he was an Israelite. Look at Genesis 32. So a Hebrew, by definition, means those that were Abraham that had crossed over the river. And then in Genesis 32 and verse number 28, we find where God said to Jacob, and he said, "Thou name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and had prevailed." And so we find the word Israelite meant it withdrew from Jacob's name. So now an Israelite were those of those 12 tribes. Paul said he was from one of those 12 tribes, and he identified it. So one can be a Hebrew and cross over. But now you could have those that were born in the tribe of Israel but was not a Hebrew. So I can be an Israelite and not be a Hebrew. But Paul said, not only was I a Hebrew, my ancestry was those with Abraham, but also I am an Israelite. Paul said he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And those that were Jews were from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Paul said, not only that, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, when it comes to the law, I'm a Pharisee. So Paul was letting them know who he was. And notice now, Paul said, and when it comes to being able to, if I want to boast about things I've accomplished, I can boast. But Paul said, I just want you all to know who I am. And then he said, concerning zeal, Paul said, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, he said, blame. Paul said, when it came to zeal, because I was of the Jewish religion or the Jewish faith, Paul said, what I did when Christianity came on the scene, I persecuted the church. Now, I want to say to us, make this 2024. Some of us, you know, we use the term, we say, I was born a Baptist. Yeah, I was born this, I was born that. No, all of us was born babies. Yeah. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean some of us who grew up, we inherit religion from our family. Yeah, Paul inherited a religion. He was of the Jewish religion. Paul inherited that. He says here, however, when Christianity came on the scene, because I was had zeal for the Jewish religion, I persecuted the church. And I'm going to show us how some of us that inherit a religion, how we can suffer because of that. You know, I know myself, to my knowledge, I am the first person in my family to obey the Lord and become a Christian. Yeah. But now Paul said here that he persecuted other religions. That may be some of us when we were in a denomination, a religion, we thought bad of the Church of Christ. We did what Paul did. I grew up a Baptist. I grew up a Catholic. I grew up this. I grew up that. And so I taught against or persecuted the Church of Christ. Paul said, why? Because touching the law, he said, I was blameless because of Judaism. But note what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Paul said, what things I gained I count loss for Christ. Watch this. Verse 8. Paul said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's my title. Paul said, I count all things but loss. See, sometimes we need to lose some things. Yeah. Sometimes some of those things that we have keep us from seeing the Lord. Yeah. I mentioned how sometimes some of us, we've lost family members because we are members of the Church of Christ. Paul said, I count all things but loss. Let me show you something. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. I dealt with this message when I dealt with an afternoon where Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Yeah. Because of the timeliness I was trying to be in the afternoon, I didn't deal with that, but it was in my heart to deal with it. I thought I'd deal with it now. Isaiah chapter 6. I want us to see something. Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Watch Isaiah now in his talking. I want us to see this. In verse number 1, I'm just at that one verse, Isaiah 6 and 1. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. I don't know what was going on in Isaiah's life, but note what he said. When the king died, then I saw the Lord. Sometimes we can have people in our lives that keep us from seeing the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes I may worship mama, daddy, or grandmama, and granddaddy, and I can't see the Lord. Isaiah admitted, we don't know what was going on in life, but he acknowledged that when the king died, he said, I saw also who the Lord was. And I'm saying to each of us, be careful that we don't put people before the Lord. Sometimes we'll put our children before the Lord. Well, Pastor, I would have done this here, but you know, my child had, and I had to. No, I'm going to worship God. Yeah. But you know, my wife and I, no. I'm going to worship God. Yeah. I'm not putting nobody and nothing before the Lord. Yeah. I want to see, I don't want people to die, then I see the Lord. When I lose those people. I want to love those people and still see the Lord. Because when I see the Lord, then I know how to make sacrifices for the Lord. You don't have to, I'll worship the Lord Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Why? I see the Lord. I see what the Lord has done for me. And so I make sacrifices. Yeah. And if that means that I lose my family because I'm worshiping God, that is what it is. Yeah, Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency. Excellent means that the word excellency means of a much greater degree. He said, what I'm doing now, all the stuff I have, my car, my home, my money, my job, all those things take a back seat to the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, who is my Lord. And he said, when it comes to that, Paul said, I may suffer the loss of all things. Sometimes you may get fired from a job because you are a Christian. Yeah. You may be treated harshly because you are a Christian. Paul said, we have to understand, as a Christian, we're going to suffer things. Yeah. Paul told Timothy, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to go through some stuff. But Paul was letting him know the things that you're going through in life, don't allow those things to take precedent where they take you down. Why I can't worship the Lord. I can't serve the Lord. I can't be active in the Lord. Paul said, notice now, and that's the back part of my text, I count all things but loss that. Remember, I said, whenever you, most time when you read the word of God and you find the word that, after the word that gives you instructions of what you ought to do. Paul said, that I may win Christ. And to win Christ means to have Christ. That means to possess Christ. In other words, Christ is my life. Paul was saying, that I may win Christ. And my question to me, to you today, are you winning Christ? Is Christ the center of your life? Yeah. Do I make preparation on Saturday for Sunday? Why? Because Christ is my life. No matter what I'm doing on Saturday, at some point in time, it has to be a cutoff so I can make preparation. I need to get to bed. I need to get some sleep so I can wake up and be alert and worship service to worship God. Yeah. Sometimes we have challenges. Some of us, we're on medications. I understand that. And they may hinder me in my alertness. That can happen. Amen. If I can hold that till later on, I want to be alert so I can hear the word of God. Yeah. That, Paul said, I may win Christ. Paul said, and do count things but dung. What Paul said then, watch this now. I grew up under the Jewish religion. But Paul said, I count that but dung. I put down the Jewish religion when someone taught me about Christ. How many of us, we struggle when someone first, go back and check your own self. When somebody first presented you about the Church of Christ and how you fought against the Church of Christ. I don't believe that myth. Get that out of my face. Some of us have been there. Yeah. But what Paul said, and what all of us have to go to the point, that whatever the word of God said, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And if that means that I am an outcast with my family, I'm going to do everything I can to love them. I'm going to do everything I can to pray for them, that their hearts will be open to the truth also. I'm not going to take a mindset that, well, that's them. Let them, they all going to go. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's not a Christian attitude. The fact of the matter is, what I want to do simply, as Paul wrote in chapter 2, I want to be an example for my family. That if Brother Brooks said last week about his sister, if they open up their heart and want to know truth, that I've been an example. Don't you be the one that run your family away from the church by how you live it. We need to live upright. Will I make mistakes? Yes, I'm going to make mistakes. Will I do things wrong? Yes, I'm going to do wrong. And when I do that, I need to apologize to them. Yeah. I apologize. I was wrong about my attitude about you all. I want to say I apologize to you. But Paul said that I may win Christ. And then my final verse, Paul said that I may be found in him. Watch what he says now. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now notice in the text, Paul says two things here. He wanted to be found in Christ, and you're here this morning, and you are not a Christian according to the Bible. You've not been added to the Church of Christ. You are not found in Christ. Why? Because now Paul said you can't have your own righteousness. You can't worship God the way you want to. Yeah, you have to be taught the word of God. Jesus said those that are taught of God can come to me. So you got to be taught. Paul said there was a righteousness. I have my own righteousness, which according to the law. He said, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So no, Paul says two things here. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 2:14 as I call. Colossians 2:14. And I want you to see in the Bible what happens to a person. Colossians 2. See in the Bible what happens to a person. Now notice Paul said, going back to talking about circumcision, I'm going to start in verse 11 to get to verse 14 is where I want to go to. But I want to share it with you so you can see it. Paul said, in whom also ye are circumcised, Colossians 2:11, with the circumcision, notice now, made without hands, and putting off of the body, of sin, of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What Paul was identifying here was reminding them that in a physical sense, you cut off the skin of the flesh. But Paul said now, this surgical experience is done by God. What God does is cut off when a person is water baptized, what the Bible said, putting off the body of sin of the flesh. All the sins that your body did, Christ cut them off in baptism. Christ does that. All the sins. You hear this morning. Every sin that you've done, when you are show obedience to God and a water baptized, what the Bible teaches that God putting off the body of all your sins. Who does it? Christ does it. How he does it? Paul said in verse 12, you are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen when you come up out of the water with him through the faith of the operation of God. God does surgery in the water. God does. He cuts away every sin that one has done. Who had raised him from the dead? God raised Christ from the dead. What God can also do is cut away your sins. But you got to be obedient. He said, and you, all of us, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So, before a person is water baptized for the remission of their sin, they are dead in their sins. The Bible teaches that. That's why we're trying to teach people to get them to obey the Lord. They are dead in their sins. And Paul said, however, once they are baptized, Paul said, when they are buried with Christ in baptism, what God does in operation, when you go down in that water, the time that you are covered, God does an operation. When you come up, all your sins are cut off and they left in the water. Then Paul said in verse 14, where I was getting to, he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, talking about the old law, which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Everything that was written in the Old Testament, when Christ died on the cross, all those things were nailed to the cross. Yeah, that's why we are New Testament Christians. Yeah, the only time things that we find in the Old Testament becomes law for us when we find it written in the New Testament. There are principles that we can follow Old Testament? Sure we can. But when it becomes law, it has to be in the New Testament. So Paul said, as I close, I count all things but loss. And I'm asking each of us, including myself, what things do I need to lose? What things you need to let go? As Isaiah said, that you can see Christ. Yeah. Is it somebody in my family? Is it my wife keeping me from sin? Do I put her higher than I put the Lord? Is it all about my children? Grandparent, is it all about your grandchildren that I can't see the Lord? Paul said, I put everything, I count all things lost that I may win Christ. I want to possess Christ. That's the message this morning. I possess him when I'm obedient to his will. If there's someone here today that's not a Christian, what's God's plan of salvation? How can I be saved from my sin? One must, Luke 11:28, Jesus talks about hearing. What I must hear is the gospel. The three facts that Jesus Christ died for my sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I must believe that, John 6:29. Believe that Christ lived on this earth and that he died for my sin. Yeah, I believe that. Then I must repent, Luke 13:3. Repent of my sin. The life I've been living away from the Lord, I repent of those things. Now I'm turning to Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the Lord yet, now you need to repent. Okay, so Brother Stroud, I've heard the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I believe the gospel. I repent of my sin. Now what I'm going to do? You must confess. What do I confess? Christian, you have to confess your sin. God already know that. You need to confess what you now believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, according to Jesus in Mark 16:15-16, not only must you believe, but you must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin. Then what the Lord does, we read it already in Acts 2:47. The Lord will add you to the church. You are now saved from your past sin. There's someone here this morning. I would not leave without obeying the Lord this morning. You come up front. What I need to do, Brother Stroud, you'll come up front. You'll give me your hand. You'll give the Lord your heart. And I'll ask you one question. We find in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch wanted to be baptized. He had heard the preaching about Jesus. He said, what do hinder me? And he said, if thou believe with all thy heart. And so he made the statement, the same statement you need to make this morning. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of your sin. The Lord adds you to the church. You're now a child of God. You're a member of the church that belongs to Christ. If there's anyone today that's subject to the invitation, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his greatest hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Now all your garments, spotless, white as snow, oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Now all your garments but little the wife is new. Oh, you are in the blue.